This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 339 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. This is Ed, and on tonight's show, well, we're going to talk a little bit about Disney. Disney parks around the world. To help me with that, we have Charlotte. Hey Charlotte, how's it going?
It's going great, Ed. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. And to give us a big hand on this, we have our new friend, Christy. Hey, Christy, how's it going?
Hey, it's going great. Thanks so much for having me here.
Oh, it's great to have you on the show. And when I say new friend, well, Christy's actually been with us for about 6 months, over 6 months, working on the blog, Disney Nerds Podcast blog, and has been doing a great job. We found Christy, basically, when we're asking for writers out there, she came forward and helped us out. And Christy comes from the OrlandoDecoded.com website. What's that all about, Christy?
Well, at Orlando Decoded, we explore the city of Orlando as a whole. So, of course, that includes the theme parks and then other lesser known areas. So, you know, 1 week we might be talking about a seasonal event or a festival at Epcot. And another week we're exploring Little Saigon and trying a banh mi place. So it just kind of explores the city, all of the city.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty fun type of website. Have you thought about doing anything more with it as far as maybe YouTube or podcasting even?
Absolutely. We do have a YouTube channel, and we have thought about podcasting, but we haven't dipped into that quite yet.
Okay. I remember way back when, in the beginning of my interest in the podcasts and listening and stuff like that, there was a show that came out of Orlando, and his big claim to fame was he did everything. Not going to be able to remember the name of it now, unfortunately. But it was really intriguing because I like getting in Disney information, but I like to hear about what else is going on in town. So when I want to get away from the parks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Orlando's a big place. There's a lot going on. And, you know, we don't want the rest of it to get lost. We want to make sure people are knowing about the other stuff, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, as I mentioned, Christy's been with us for over 6 months now, working on the blog and doing some great work. Post after post, I think we just had one out there about the cruise ships, I believe.
Yeah, about the Tangled experiences on the Magic.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Excellent. So now, you've done a lot of cruising, I got to imagine, right?
Yes, yes. My husband, when I met my husband, I hadn't been on any cruises, but he was a cruising fanatic and he has converted me. Disney Cruise Line is amazing.
It's funny
my favorite.
It is pretty good. And I tell you what, I still have yet to do another cruise other than Disney Line. So I need to compare, but it's funny. It seems to happen the way you mentioned, because I had never gone on cruises until I met and got married. And then once that happened, my wife was the cruise fanatic to begin with, and she got me all hooked.
Yep. Yeah. And you know, there are pros and cons to every line, of course, but Disney has definitely got the most beautiful ships. You know, sodas are included. It's amazing.
So. Completely agree. Completely.
Yeah. Now, have you been on the, I got to imagine, have you been on the new ships also?
I have not seen the brand new ships. I mean, I've seen sailed on the Fantasy and the Dream.
Right, and we'll say that for now, because I don't think anybody's had a chance to get on the new ones yet, the new ones.
Yeah, I thought you meant, like, have you, like, seen them from afar? Like, no.
Oh, I know, that'd be great. They got to be still over in, I guess, where, Germany is where they make them, or... I'm trying to remember the stories I got from that one bar where they had all the pictures of the ship being built and stuff like that. So as far as your cruise ship, your cruising experience goes, did you have a favorite itinerary or ship perhaps or something like that?
You know, there are amazing things about both classes of Disney Cruise Line ships. You've got the bigger, newer ships, the Fantasy and the Dream, that just have these amazing pool areas with the aqueduct water coaster that goes around the whole deck. You know, of course, they've got bigger venues and more choice of bars and lounges. But then the classic ships, the Magic and the Wonder, have such amazing themed experiences in their dining rooms. You have Tiana's Place on the Wonder, which has, you know, like it has a live entertainment piece to it. And it's the same with Rapunzel's Royal Table on the Magic. And so both classes offer these unique experiences. So it's really hard to pick a favorite ship.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
they all have their charm.
I really love the Magic. It's the one I've sailed on the most, so it has a special place in my heart. But then when I get on the Fantasy or the Dream, I'm like, oh, so it's so hard. Wonder is the only one that I haven't sailed on. And I that will happen soon. It needs to happen very soon.
Well, let me ask you now. I've heard the big comparisons between the two ships, the two types of ships. But give me an idea size-wise then. I've been on the larger, the newer ships, each one of them. And I've never been on the smaller ones. But what's the big difference?
The biggest place where you'll feel the difference of the size is in the atrium area where you first come in. Because, you know, on the Fantasy and the Dream, you come in and it's this huge, expansive atrium that's not quite – it's about half the size.
Oh,
roughly,
okay.
On the Magic and the Wonder. So it definitely doesn't have that grand feel when you walk in, but it's still a beautiful atrium. And at least for me, I didn't really notice the size difference in the other areas. Would you agree with that, Charlotte?
I would agree. I felt like it was all big enough because the amount of people is half the size. So... it was plenty enough room for the amount of people that's on the ship. And it's just the smaller Magic and I guess the Wonder too probably has some kind of nostalgia to it to very early cruising days. You know, the size of the ship, it's just so stately and beautiful.
Very cool. And we know from the history and from, where was it? Oh, the Club 33 at Epcot. I mean, cruising was what Walt did. So I guess they got to make this well. They got to make this, you know, very good. Okay, well, as far as cruise ships go, too, one of the best parts about the cruise, at least I felt, was getting on to the Disney Island. What do you like to go do when you go to Castaway Cay?
I love the adult speech.
Oh, yeah.
It just put me away over there and let me have some quiet time, and I am so happy.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And I love the 5K that they have there every morning. You know, it's an included excursion. You can sign up at guest services and do a race around the island, and I just love that.
Oh,
it's
cool.
So fun. It's so nice to get out and be able to see the island really early because you're there before anybody else is out and on the island. And you're not doing it for time. It's not a timed event like some of the other Run Disney type things. But I have stopped so many times to take pictures of birds that I've seen while I'm on the trail because, I mean, they're birds that are Caribbean. I'm a birder anyway. I'm a nerd. I'm a full-fledged nerd. I'm a birder. So I love to stop and take pictures of birds. And I've saw so many that I've never seen before on that 5K run. It's just, I love that. That's my favorite part of that 5K, is being out so early to see the island wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's funny you mention that. I usually pass the runners as like the last of them are getting back onto the ship. So that's about the time my morning begins. Mm-hmm. So a lot of courage you guys have getting out that early. We have done the bike ride before. That's about the extent of our activity.
Oh, that's fun.
Yep, very much so. Okay, so if you had to tell a friend a big tip about how to enjoy the cruises that much better, any idea what you would say or what you would tell them? It kind of changes as we go on and we get new upgrades and things like that, but...
This is different than any other cruise. Take time to actually sit and enjoy the shows. Like, these shows are some of the most amazing stage works you're ever going to see. They are fantastic. And if you skip them, you're really, really missing out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would agree with that. And I think I would also probably tell a friend to just look at the navigator as it comes out every day, kind of prioritize your activities, but realize that you're not going to be able to get everything done. They just have so much to offer. It's impossible. So relax, prioritize and relax.
Mm-hmm. And plan your next cruise to come back.
Exactly.
For sure.
Very cool. That's great advice. That's great advice on the cruises. That's great advice at the parks. Disney gives you so much to do on these ships that it's amazing. If you're active, if you want to keep active, if you want to, like Charlotte said, kind of get a little bit more relaxed, different things are always available. And some of the places you can do it are great too. We have our favorite bars. We have mm-hmm. our favorite dining, things to do. The one thing we have never done was to get the extra special dining, where you pay a couple extra bucks and you reserve for Palo, I guess, is one of the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys done that a lot?
I've done the Palo brunch, and it was amazing. It was definitely worth it. But I was also on a girls' trip, and so it was only me paying for myself and not me paying for the entire family.
Right.
So I don't know if I would do it if it was, you know... All my kids are grown, so they would all qualify to eat at Palo. I don't know if I'd pay for five of us to eat at Palo when we can eat just as good at the restaurants that are covered. But the brunch was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have also done Palo. I've eaten both for brunch and dinner. I have not gotten to experience Remy yet, but that is on the list. It's on my bucket list.
Right.
But I agree. Brunch was amazing. You know, they have the full menu, but they also have this buffet of just smoked fish and prosciutto and an amazing array of cheeses and desserts. And if you can swing it, it's well worth the extra price.
Yeah.
Right. And sure. Everybody that I know that's done it always, they say the exact same thing. It was well worth it. They can't wait till the day they can start making those reservations and such like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Very cool. Okay. So we're going to take leave of the cruise ships and we're going to move on to the land parks now, because it was really interesting reading Christie's About Me over on the blog about how she has been to a couple parks around the world, which is amazing. Now, let's start for really quick. United States, I know you've been to Walt Disney World. How about Disneyland? Have you been there yet?
Yes, many times.
Okay, awesome. So that's a definite on your list. Now, how about as far as the rest of the world? How adventurous have you been?
So I have been to both Tokyo Disneyland and then also Disneyland Paris.
Oh, wow. Nice. That's great. So now, Tokyo Disneyland... Is there, and there's more than one park in Tokyo now or in Japan, or is it just the one park?
Yes. So you have the Tokyo Disneyland theme park, and then there's also Disney Sea.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you've been at the Disneyland?
I've been to both parks.
Awesome. Are they close together like they are in Disney World and say like in Paris and stuff like that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That makes it that much easier then. Mm-hmm. Where do you want to go first?
Absolutely Disney City.
Okay. Excellent. So now, when we go to Tokyo, what kind of trip are we expecting? How long did it take you to get there? Was it a tough type of traveling situation?
Okay, so the flight, this was back in 2005. So my memory of the flight is that it was about 12 hours-ish, which is to be expected. But then it was just a short van ride. We took like a shuttle from the airport over to our hotel, which was on Disney property. And then it was really easy to get around the parks from there.
Okay. The parks were walking distance from the hotels or bus distance?
We took a monorail.
Oh, even better yet.
Oh, nice.
And does the monorail hit both parks?
I believe so. I remember taking a monorail to both parks.
Okay. Well, very cool. I have never even looked at Tokyo Disney Park or Disneyland to even ask specifics. So what I'd like you to do, if possible, give us an idea of your walking into the park and kind of portray it. We've been to Disneyland. We've been to Disney World. So we have an idea of what that type of park would be, a Magic Kingdom, quote unquote. But let's use our imaginations with your words as far as what Disneyland Tokyo was like.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we start with Disneyland, Tokyo Disneyland, that's set up a lot like the Magic Kingdom. It really looks and feels a lot like the Magic Kingdom here in Florida. Where I'm from in Orlando. So there's, they even have Cinderella's Castle. And they have their Splash Mountain of their own, a Space Mountain of their own, and it's set up exactly the same. So to be quite honest, I didn't spend a whole lot of time in Tokyo Disneyland once I saw how similar it was to the Magic Kingdom here in Florida, because I'm so familiar with that park.
Right.
So I did go on the rides there, but they were a lot of them were just so similar to what we have here. You know, in Fantasyland, it was pretty much carbon copies of what we've got here. So most of my time was spent over in DisneySea. And in the DisneySea park, it's set up a lot differently than any other theme park that I'm familiar with, at least in North America. When you walk in, you know, you're kind of greeted with this huge Mediterranean harbor with all sorts of shopping and restaurants, quick service and full service restaurants, before you actually enter the park, and you're greeted by all these different lands. The thing that I was really impressed with DisneySea most of all was just how visually stunning it is. Every land is just absolutely beautiful. There's water everywhere, as you may infer based on the name. Yeah. But then, you know, also it's just everything is so beautiful, and they have so many attractions that you can just walk through and explore. You know, there's a big fortress on one of the sides of like a volcano that you can just walk through and see different things and play with different telescopes and stuff. In the Mermaid Lagoon area, you can walk through a replica of Ariel's Grotto. And so I was really taken with all of these lands that you could really explore and get into the details of.
That's cool.
Now, the name Tokyo Seas, does the seas carry a theme through the park? Like, is it different parts of the park based on a different sea, or how does it have any meaning in that regard?
Yeah. So the lands of the park are they're all water themed. So you have Mermaid Lagoon, Mediterranean Harbor, Arabian Coast. So it's not all, you know, different seas per se, but it is all water themed. And every land has a very different feel. In Lost River Delta, you have the Indiana Jones ride with the South American type feel, and then in Mysterious Island, you'll find the Jules Verne ride. So there's a Journey to the Center of the Earth ride, and then 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Cool.
So actual submarines back then, or still?
So the submarines that they use are not actually submerged like we had here in the States. But you do get onto a submarine and they use effects to make you feel like you're underwater. It's just not actually submerged.
Oh, right. Well, yeah, uh-huh. Kind of like exactly yeah. how they are here. That's cool. Now, you're talking how great sea was, that Tokyo Sea was. What stood out? I mean, yeah, the visuals and things like that, but everybody has that thing about Disney World or the Magic Kingdom or something like that that they just go to. Were you there long enough to get that type of feel?
Oh, yeah. For me, it was Ariel's Grotto.
Okay.
Ariel was my favorite princess growing up. So, you know, and when I went to the park, there was no Ariel ride at Walt Disney World. There was no Ariel meet and greet. You know, I grew up with my favorite princess not having a whole lot of representation in the park. So to go to Disney Sea and Ariel had her own land and I could walk through Ariel's grotto and take a picture with the Eric statue, that just touched, you know, the child inside.
On the Tokyo Disney Resort website, I'm actually looking at the pictures for Ariel's playground, and I was just as you were saying that, I'm like, that looks amazing. That looks so beautiful.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then of course being able to ride 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea again was awesome too. And the Jules Verne area is amazing. So
what kind of themed ride is the Journey to the Center of the Earth? Is it an actual ride, or is it more of a walkthrough, or?
Yes, it's an actual ride. So you go into it. They're single cars, but they're kind of on like a train track type system. And most of the ride is pretty slow. But you're going through and you're looking at different creatures from under the ground. And you're going through different crystals and fire. And then the ride starts to pick up towards the end where you come into the finale, and I won't give it away, but you come into the finale and then all of a sudden you just take off down the side of the volcano, and it's amazing.
Oh, awesome. Cool.
Very cool.
So sounds now, awesome.
I gotta throw this on my list for YouTube videos and start watching some of these Tokyo ones a little bit more. They sound really good. Give me some idea how the park was as to English visitors, English-speaking visitors. It's in Japan. I got to imagine Japanese is spoken in the park, but how well did they break that down?
It was not really represented. They had English guide maps, but when you go to Disneyland Paris, you have a lot of attractions that are in half English, half in French, and you know, you can kind of follow along. That did not happen at Tokyo Disney. Everything was completely in Japanese. So it was very hard to follow some of the attractions, but the experiences were so, you know, visually detailed and visually overwhelming that they were well worth the time right. to travel there.
wasn't an issue. Excellent.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
That's so cool to hear. Now, how about food? Big thing with us talking food all the time. We have our quick services. We have our sit-down restaurants. How does it work out there?
So the Tokyo Disney Sea has actually a lot of full-service restaurants. They have some quick-serve areas that are pretty unique. Like there is a... I'm trying to think of the right... I'm looking up the right term now. But it's like a pork... kind of like a pork sticky bun in okay. one of their quick services, but it's long like a hot dog. And that was really good. But then they also, in the Mediterranean Harbor, they have a couple sit-down Italian restaurants that were really amazing.
And Italian food was Italian food? It was great?
Yeah, it was.
Awesome.
What I would expect from the World Showcase. It was awesome.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, so now... this was 2005. Do you see yourself going back again?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My husband and I plan to go back in the next few years.
That's good to know. Now, have you been keeping track of the park? Have they added anything you're really looking forward to?
I have been looking through, the site. They haven't really added anything new. That's really big at Tokyo Disney Sea, but they did change a couple things. So there was a simulator ride that was about storms the last time I was there, and now they've changed that simulator ride to be a Finding Nemo theme, and I'm really excited to see that. That sounds very cute.
That should be fun. I wonder if they've had too many issues with real storms in Japan. They just don't want to deal with that anymore.
Right.
Especially
that
makes in
sense.
The park. Okay, so now let's move across Asia into Europe and Disneyland Paris. How long ago did you get to Disneyland Paris?
We were there just last year in 2019.
Oh, beautiful. Now, we had gone probably like 3 years ago now, and mm-hmm. we flew into Paris, and basically my son and I went right to the parks. My wife and daughter went shopping in Paris, and they took the train to Disneyland Paris. How did you guys travel around to get to the park?
We actually started our trip in London and took the tunnel over.
Okay. Oh, very
so
nice.
So now, the tunnel, does that bring you to a city in France, or does it take you right to the parks?
We took... There is an option where you can take the tunnel pretty much directly to Chessy, but we ended up taking it to Paris and then taking a train over.
Okay. One of the cool things about Disneyland Paris is that it is serviced by the trains from all over France. And they mm-hmm. literally, how do I explain this? They are literally, the station is underneath the area between the two parks, kind of, and kind of like between there and the parking lots. And you just basically come up top and you're there.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Makes it a lot easier. Now, in Disneyland Paris, did you stay at any of the hotels on property, or did you kind of travel back and forth?
We did not. We traveled back and forth. Were you on property?
Yes, we were. Oh, crap. Now I'm going to have a problem remembering the name of the hotel. It was the one that reminded me of the Wilderness Lodge the most. So it was right across the lake from the Disney Springs area of the park.
Awesome.
I'll think of the name before we get done. So it was pretty cool in that way. We were able to walk to the parks. So did you get dropped off where the buses dropped off?
Yes.
Okay, and then work your way in. Now, it was the beginning of really heavy security at the time, so I think they were still trying to figure out what they were doing with that. One of the biggest things about Disneyland Paris is the Disneyland Paris Hotel. Is that the name of that place?
Yes.
So you tell us about that, because that's an amazing thing.
Yeah, the Disneyland Paris Hotel acts, it's right over the entrance to the Disneyland Paris Park, which is amazing.
And the entire underneath of it almost reminded me of the old kind of like arcades, or the old type of like boardwalk arcades underneath, where it's wide open, but it's all wood everywhere.
Yes.
To the turnstiles and stuff like that. So Disneyland Paris, there are two parks there, which is pretty awesome. Do you have a preference?
I prefer Disneyland.
Okay.
Yeah, the Disneyland park.
And what was the other one called?
Disney Studios.
Right, which was pretty much based on the studios. And tell me what you liked about the Disneyland side.
So I really love Phantom Manor over at Disneyland Paris, which is their version of the Haunted Mansion. Mm-hmm. I think it's really creepy. I think they have some really great scenes there. And I read before we went on it that it was inspired by the Phantom of the Opera. And I think you can really see that, you know, especially when you walk in and in the load area, how they have that grand staircase and the bride is crying at the top of the stairs. And you can really see the inspiration throughout the entire ride. And I think that's so cool.
Excellent. Unfortunately, that was under refurbishment. We were there. Only thing we didn't get on. I know, right? But I tell you what, their Space Mountain was pretty amazing.
Yes.
And even their kind of Jules Verne ride, which was kind of, I challenged to call it a ride because it was more of a walkthrough. Kind of similar to what you're talking about in the Tokyo parks, where they're more a walkthrough exhibit type of attractions than it was actually like getting on a line and then a ride.
Yes. Yes. The Nautilus that you're referring to was actually under refurbishment when I went, so I didn't get to see that one.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Well, that's cool. So now the Disney Hollywood Park had basically followed along with the other Hollywood Studios parks in that they had a lot of the same things. They had the Toy Story Land in there, which was kind of cool. kind of mundane rides, but still something I hadn't seen before. What did you think about Turtle? I wanted to say Turtle Talk of Crush, but no, it's not the name of the coaster. Crush Coaster. What was that one called? Or did you have a chance to get on it?
I think it's Crush's Coaster.
Right, which was an indoor roller coaster.
Yeah, I loved it. So that is actually my husband's favorite ride from Disneyland Paris, and I thought it was really fun. We rode it twice, and we made a point to sit, because in those ride vehicles, you're facing in different directions. There's a pair of people sitting facing forward and a pair of people sitting facing backwards. And we made a point to sit in both points of view, and it's a completely different experience.
Oh, okay.
Oh, cool.
Where you're sitting. So I really loved that ride.
Right. Do you get any feeling that we might be seeing something similar to that in the new Guardians attraction down at Epcot, where it's an indoor roller coaster where you're kind of entering in the one area and you're going to be going up the hill and going into the big indoor coaster area?
I bet so.
Or something similar. I don't think it's going to be as – it's definitely not going to be as dark as Rock and Roller Coaster is, the other indoor roller coaster. So that's what I'm hoping should be more like this. I'm trying to think what else stood out. They had a Tower of Terror. Oh, you know what else I thought was pretty cool? And I don't know if they even still have it. They still have the Backlot Tour, which wasn't called that, but it was definitely the same ride.
Yeah, oh, they still have that? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, they did.
And yes, they still had that when I was there.
And it's kind of odd because Disneyland Paris picks the oddest movies, I guess, to model something after, because the main or one of the main sets you go through is from that Dragon movie that Christian Bale was in.
Right.
Go figure that out. But I guess at the time it was a big draw.
I guess
it.
The fire helps warm you up at least in the cold.
I do remember that. That is very true. Okay. We were in the early spring, so that was kind of cool. Now, they do have in the Studios Park another ride that is soon to be coming to Epcot, and I'm hoping you had a chance to get onto it. You know what I'm talking about?
Ratatouille.
You got it. Did you have a chance to get on that one when you were there?
We did. And we really liked it. We thought it was really cute. It'll be a really great addition to the World Showcase. It's different than anything Epcot has, for sure.
Now, have you been on the Skyliner going over the Epcot area and seen the construction going on?
Yes.
Doesn't it kind of remind you almost exactly like that little area in France?
Oh, absolutely. It's a much bigger expansion to that pavilion than I thought it was going to be initially.
Right. And it reminds me, because in France, when you come to this area, you walk down a little hill and then the entire area kind of opens up to you. You really can't see how big it is from above. And I'm kind of getting that feeling from this. Now, I got to wonder if there's going to be some type of restaurant at the end of this ride where you're entering or exiting out somewhere near.
I hope so. I don't know if you looked at the menu or got to experience that restaurant at all. We did not eat there, but I am disappointed that we missed the opportunity because it looked delicious.
It did. It's another one of those restaurants that Disney just has to put at the end of their attractions, kind of like Disneyland Pirates and stuff like that, or in their attractions. Very, very cool thing to do. And plus,
so was it like Remy's restaurant?
Somewhat. Because it was behind glass, and you know what? It was more like, I guess, the really nice restaurant in Paris. I mean, in Epcot, to be honest with you. Do I remember that right?
Oh, okay. In France?
Right. I'm asking Christy. Mm-hmm. Did that restaurant look like Remy's, or did it look like a little bit more up-class restaurant at the end of the ride?
It did look very similar to the restaurant that's in the Paris Pavilion. So I think it just it gave the impression of it being, you know, connected to the story with you being able to see it right after the ride.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they did show on the way out. They showed Remy's restaurant, you know, with all the mice and stuff like that eating along with the rats.
Awesome.
So that was cool. And I would not put it past Disney to eventually somehow or some way put a shop into the France Pavilion that might be Remy's. A nice little quick place to get something to eat.
I'm totally here for that.
So as far as Disneyland Paris goes, now, again, we have that one friend who wants to travel around the world. What are we going to tell her? what's the thing to do in Disneyland Paris?
I would say to buy a park hopper ticket for, if you're going to do 2 days at Disneyland Paris, you definitely need a full day in Disneyland. But Walt Disney Studios can be done, I believe, in a little more than a half day. So if you, I would suggest that they buy a park hopper ticket for that day.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. And something else just kind of flashed to me too, the way when you mentioned that too. One of the things I do remember about Disneyland Paris that was pretty exceptional was the atriums. When you walked into Main Street, you had a chance to go either left or right and basically walk behind the stores in a covered area that was kind of like a shopping mall, or I'm not sure exactly what to call it. I thought that was done so well. And then it was so horrible because you walk over to the studios area and you have to walk through, I guess, what they consider a soundstage to get into the park itself. And the soundstage inside is just one big, loud, general area of stores and restaurants and things like that, where you're trying to figure out, am I just getting to the other side of this, or am I supposed to stop and do stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely had the Disneyland Paris side figured out a little bit better, I thought.
Agreed. And again, those back hallways that you were referencing on either side of Main Street, again, it's a great place to stay warm in the Paris weather. I'm a cold weather wimp, so I was always looking for places to stay warm.
Sure, you gotta scope them out. I definitely hear you there. I do remember there was a great fireworks show in front of the castle, so that was pretty cool. Oh, I got one thing for you. Did you get under the castle?
Yes.
Okay, tell us about that.
So when you go underneath the castle, you can actually enter a dungeon area where they're keeping Maleficent in her dragon form. And that was really just amazing to see. It's a huge animatronic that, you know, actually roars at you and moves around periodically. And it was just really, really amazing to see. A very nice touch.
Oh, it was. Now, what also was cool about the castle they had in Disneyland Paris was that you can also go upstairs. And not upstairs to go to the restaurant, but upstairs to the second floor of the castle, where you can walk around and see a lot of murals and paintings and stories and learn all about the history of the castle and the people who live there.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And you can also
see
things.
That's my main draw for going to Disneyland Paris, is seeing her under the castle. I want to see that so bad. Like, that's the main thing on why I want to go to that park so bad.
Well, it was kind of funny because we had heard about it and we were trying to find it, and it took us a little while. The actual entrance was kind of outside the castle on the Liberty Square side of the castle. If you're behind the castle of our Walt Disney World area. So if you're going on that right side was where the entrance was, and that kind of was a little tough to find. But once we found it, oh, it was great.
Nice.
Absolutely. I think that's the biggest differentiator between the American parks and then at least the overseas parks that I've been to. I feel like there's a real effort to add those touches that aren't part of an attraction necessarily, you know, the dragon underneath the castle, the Nautilus that you can walk through, the fortress in Disney Sea, where there are just these little pockets that you can explore in the parks that we don't really have those reflected over here on the American side.
Right.
True. It's all about the action. Now, one other thing we noticed when we were in Disneyland Paris, my wife pointed it out. I'm oblivious to this stuff. She was like, people go into the parks dress a lot better in Disneyland Paris. Meaning, we go to the parks and we've got our cargo shorts and we've got our t-shirts. And if it's even nicer, we're still with sweatshirts and bundling up and stuff like that if it's colder. Excuse me. But she was noticing, and actually after she said that, I'm like, wow, everybody is really dressed up to go to the parks. I thought that kind of really stood out. Made me
I think
feel like I had to go back.
Thing.
Right. And I kind of was thinking that way too.
Mm-hmm. I think they just dress better in general. I know that sounds terrible, but I think we get a little too casual, and people in Europe still dress. They still dress for the occasion.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Before we finish Disneyland Paris, can't stop without talking food. Anything stick out for you when you were over there as far as restaurants or anything?
Honestly, for Disneyland Paris, we had a really amazing lunch in Fantasyland over by the Pinocchio ride. The name of the restaurant's escaping me, but one thing that I appreciated about their quick service restaurants is that they sold all of their meals as kind of like a complete package. You know, you had your main dish, a side, and a dessert all in one package, which was interesting. You know, it was different than what we do here. Mm-hmm. But for like a big sit down meal, we were more all about the rides at Disneyland Paris. We waited to do our big sit down meals until we got into the city.
Right. Actually, that's a great point. That's kind of how we were too. Nothing really stood out meal wise. But yeah,
no, you're in France, eat in Paris.
Right. And that's what we ended up doing. So that was perfect. Okay, so we've been all around. We've been in the Caribbean. We've been to Japan, France. Wow, I'm getting tired and even thirsty now, too.
All around the world.
Yep. Okay, guys, so tell us what you think. Have you been in any of these parks? Are you planning to go? We're always interested in finding out what the other Disney nerds are up to. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast, and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com. And watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show 339 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Christy, thanks a lot for stopping by tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This was great.
Okay, so now Disney Nerds, if you want to keep busy, check out the Disney Nerds Podcast blog. Got a lot of stuff going on over there. Check out our Disney Nerds Facebook pages, just like Jimmy told you about. Got a lot of stuff going on over there also. For Charlotte, Christy, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Just keep swimming.
Have a great night, everyone. Bye.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a toll.